House, please come to order. Will members please register their presence by voting? Clerk, please take the quorum.
Thirty-four present, six absent.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, Representatives Anderson, Byrne, Bennett, Guy, Osterbeck, and Schaefer are excused from the call of the House today, assuming that those are the six absent, that accounts for all members.
The House please rise for prayer by Father James Miller. Representative Rode.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread upon the journal.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Will clerk please certify as to the correctness of the Daily Journal?
As chief clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 103rd day and House Supplement number 50.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that this body approve the journal as certified by the chief clerk for the 103rd day and for House Supplement number 50.
Hearing no objection. Representative Luthien.
Mr. Speaker, at this time I'd like to bring up my notice of reconsideration on CS House Bill 137.
You don't have an objection to the certification of the journal?
No.
Hearing no objection, the motion is approved. Representative Luthien wants to bring up his reconsideration. Puts a bill before us in third reading. Would the clerk please read House Bill 137 in third reading?
Committee substitute for House Bill number 137, Judiciary, amended by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to civil penalties for discharges of oil.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for House Bill 137 be held in third reading and placed on Monday's calendar.
Object.
His objection. Representative Luthien.
May we have a brief at ease, please?
House, please stand at ease. House, please come back to order. Representative Luthien.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to remove my objection.
Is there further objection to the motion? Hearing no objection, House Bill 137 will be held in third reading for Monday's calendar. Brings us down to the introduction of guests. Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, it's my pleasure this morning to introduce a couple of constituents of mine. Mr. Gardner's in the gallery behind me, a member of the Cuyahoga School Board, Kathy Fester. And likewise, Mr. Speaker, a member of the school board from Craig, Mr. Ron Hatch.
Representative Luthien.
Mr. Speaker, it gives me great pleasure this morning to introduce somebody, the most important person in my life, someone I love very much, my wife, Judy.
Representative Swanson.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, we have three guests from out in District 19 today, members of the school board on the fly-in. Louise Waller from the Eagle, Pappy Moss from Delta Junction, and Ed Fry from Anderson.
Representative Urien? House, please stand at ease. House, please come back to order. Before the at ease, we are down to the introduction of guests. Are there further guests for introduction of the chambers? Representative Rhodes.
Mr. Speaker, it's my pleasure to introduce in Gallery B two constituents of ours from Seldotna. They are members of the Kenai Borough Peninsula School Board, and they are Carolyn Canavaugh and Jerry Holbert.
Representative Nakak.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It gives me great pleasure to introduce someone who's not from my district, but a friend, Jorien Hout, representing the board from Bethel, Lower Custom REAA in Gallery B.
Representative Buchholz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, I would like to introduce a friend of mine and the daughter of our legal mind in the fifth floor, Renee, right there. Your lawyer's daughter.
Representative Osi. Are there further guests for introduction to the chambers? Messages from the governor.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
The Senate has passed House Concurrent Resolution Number 48, proclaiming Thanksgiving Week as Family Unity Week, and it is returned. This resolution has been sent to enrolling. The Senate has concurred in the House amendment to committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 18, thus adopting House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 18, Licensing of Pesticide Applicators. The Senate has concurred in the House Amendment to Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 4, Finance Amended, thus adopting House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 4, Amended House, Veterans Loans. The Senate has failed to recede from its amendment to Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 52, House Budget, namely Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 52, Senate Budget. The President has appointed the following members to a conference committee on the above bills: Senator Sackett, Chairman, Senator Holman, Senator Tillian. The Senate has failed to recede from its amendment to Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 195, namely Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 195, Amended Senate, Regulation of Drilling of Deep Wells. The President has appointed the following members to a conference committee to meet with a like committee from the House to consider the above bills: Senator Huber, Chairman, Senator Rohde, Senator Tillian. The Senate has passed House Concurrent Resolution Number 22, Travel on State Ferries by Official School Activity Groups, with the following amendment: Senate Committee Substitute for House Concurrent Resolution Number 22, Amended Senate, Travel on State Ferries by Official Alaska School Activity and Alaska Recreational Groups, and transmitting same for consideration. The Senate has passed the following, and they are transmitted herewith for consideration: Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 32 by Kurtula, annulling an administrative regulation adopted by the Alaska Commission on Post-Secondary Education pertaining to the maximum indebtedness that a student may incur under the scholarship loan program. Refer to the Committee on Health, Education, and Social Services. Senate Bill Number 317, amended by Ray, an act relating to state income tax.
Finance.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Communications.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Judiciary has had Senate Bill 217 amended, Jurisdiction of the Supreme Court, under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 217, and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Gardner, Chairman, concurred in by Brown, Eliason, Dankworth, and Miles. Signing do not pass, Gardner. Having no recommendation, specking. Senate Bill 217 amended has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 232, a special appropriation to the Department of Education for the Transportation Museum of Alaska under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for a Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 232 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cooper, Chairman, concurred in by Cooper, Meekins, Duncan, Buchholz, Swanson, Rode, and Freeman. Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 232 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had House Concurrent Resolution 38, establishing toll-free telephone service within the legislature for constituent use under consideration. Five of the members of the committee recommend it be replaced with committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution 38 and that it do pass and attaches a fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Cooper, Chairman, concurring by Cooper, Meekins, Swanson, Duncan, Buchholz. Having no recommendation, Rode. House Concurrent Resolution 38 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 10, Age of Retirement under the Public Employees Retirement System, under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 10 and that it do pass and attaches a fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Cooper, Chairman, concurred in by Greening, Duncan, Buchholz, Swanson, Meekins, Rode, Freeman, and Cooper. House Bill 10 has no further referral. The Committee on Hess has had House Bill 413, appropriating $200,000 to the City of Nenana for a Health and Family Services Center, under consideration. Four of the members of the committee recommend it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, concurred in by Chatterton, Osi, Nakak, and Parr. Having no recommendation, Phillips. House Bill 413 has a further referral to Finance. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Can we be at ease, Mr. Speaker?
House, please stand at ease. Reports of special committees.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of House resolutions.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 60 by the Rules Committee by request of the Administrative Regulation Review Committee, annulling a regulation of the Department of Revenue pertaining to the value of prizes awarded in raffles and lotteries.
Referred to the Finance Committee.
I have no further resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of House bills.
House Bill Number 501 by the Rules Committee by request of the Administrative Regulation Review Committee, an act granting the Administrative Regulation Review Committee power during the interim between sessions to suspend until the legislature reconvenes the effectiveness of regulations adopted or amended and approving for and providing for an effective date.
Referred to the State Affairs Committee.
House Bill 502 by the Rules Committee by request of the Administrative Regulation Review Committee, an act relating to the preparation, publication, and filing of regulations under the Administrative Procedure Act.
State Affairs.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Brings us down to the consideration of the daily calendar. Clerk, please read the first item on the daily calendar.
House Bill Number 78 by Specking, an act making a special appropriation to the Department of Education for construction at the Seward Skill Center and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Hess has had House Bill 78 under consideration, and the members of the committee report it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, signing do pass, Byrne, Phillips, and Parr, having no, and Bennett. Having no recommendation, Nakak, Cotton, Osi, and Chatterton. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 78 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 78 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cooper, Chairman, concurring by Freeman, Rode, Haugen, Guy, Schaefer, Swanson, Duncan, Greening, and Cooper. Having no recommendation, Buchholz. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute be accepted in lieu of the original bill.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Clerk of any amendments to committee substitute.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Amendment number one by Mr. Specking. Page one, line 11. Between of and construction, add phase two.
Representative Specking.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent for adoption of amendment number one.
Hearing no objection, the amendment is adopted. Clerk of any further amendments, House Bill 78.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill 78 amended be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Clerk, please read committee substitute for House Bill number 78 amended in third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 78 amended by the Finance Committee. An act making a special appropriation to the Department of Education for construction at the Seward Skill Center and providing for an effective date.
Question. Representative Hayes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a question of the sponsor. Just occurred to me after the amendment. Does a phase two mean that there's going to be a phase three or phase four? Is that the last phase?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Speaking.
Mr. Speaker, there may well be a request for a phase three. It's sort of a somewhat complicated, but it's portrayed on this drawing, if you can see this. Part of the remodeling at the Seward Skill Center includes removal of some existing modular units. It includes the removal of some units that were used as a food service training facility that have been, or in the general, they've been replaced this year through the mechanism of an EDA grant. And it is expected that there will be a request in other years for a phase three, which would mean further expansion of the dormitory facility. However, phase two will stand on its own. In other words, by building phase two, and this may well be Representative Hayes' question, and obviously that determination is going to have to be made later, as if there are additional phases of that particular construction. But phase two does is a 40 member housing unit that will stand on its own without additional additions if they aren't forthcoming. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Question. Representative Carpenter.
May we have a brief at ease?
House, please stand at ease. Representative Specking.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I suspect that a word of description and explanation about the Seward Skill Center is in order. And for those members that are not familiar with that particular facility, it's a vocational educational facility that's located at Seward. It started years back under a probably the most complicated system of funding of any agency that's ever been put together. It was sort of the end result of some various federal programs and with some state help added initially on a system of buy-ins that provided funding for anywhere from 80 to 200 students. The vocational educational program includes various industrially oriented courses from repair of heavy machinery to the building trades to food service to secretarial skills to upgrading of basic educational skills so that students can achieve the GED certificate. Mr. Speaker, in recent years, particularly last year, the funding arrangements have been smoothed out and we have been able to get full state support in our funding, and this has been extremely important in that it provides a level of funding that lets the Skill Center maintain a basic student load without going from 80 to 160 and up on a curve. And that, while it's digressing somewhat from the building program, the center has, along with that, upgraded the skills that they're teaching and the quality of instruction. And I believe that now is furnishing a reasonably respectable quality vocational technical educational experience for Alaskan students. Mr. Speaker, the funding that's being sought here for phase two of construction will provide the completion of a 40-member dormitory. The Skill Center previously contracted for an old hotel in Seward called the Van Gilder Hotel. The hotel was old and worn out when I went to Seward almost 30 years ago. The fire marshal just simply, and with other complications, said bring that to an end, and the contract with the Van Gilder Hotel was terminated and modular units were provided for the students. Now, the modular units fall substantially below the OSHA and fire requirements that been imposed on that type of housing. And for that reason, the Skill Center went into a vocational training program of providing housing for its students. Now, this particular funding will provide, as I said, a 40-man or woman dormitory. And I'd like to point out that the Skill Center is just finishing completion of another 60-person unit of this type, which they've done at a full cost of $23 a square foot. It's estimated that the cost of this 40-person unit will be about $33 a square foot. The additional costs being brought about by some add-ons, including the removal of the existing five mobile units, which served as a food service training facility. This food service training facility has been replaced by a new modular unit that was funded entirely from EDA funding. Will allow the Skill Center to upgrade and expand the restroom facilities and to install windows and units in the old food service facility, and will provide some landscaping. Now, I'd like to point out that all of the work is being done by the students in the building trades cluster. The building trades unions have cooperated and given us the fullest measure of assistance with this project, and I believe that it's an educational experience for those students, plus providing the state with a facility at the lowest cost per square foot that I know of any construction that we're doing today. For that reason, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to ask the member's support for the measure. Thank you.
Ready for the question? Representative Carpenter.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A question for the prime sponsor. I'm always curious as to why a special appropriation for a capital project is not in the capital projects section of the budget, for the House budget.
Representative Speckin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm glad to field that question, if I may. I felt when I came down this year that the project was so meritorious that instead of attempting to just simply appear before the House Finance Committee and ask for the money in the budget, that it really would withstand your individual scrutiny. And I put it in a bill form and appeared before two committees to explain the measure. And I just believe that it's such a good project that it withstands the complete scrutiny of all the members. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Ready for the question? Question is, shall House Bill number 78 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk, please announce final total.
35 yeas, no nays, 5 excused.
So House Bill 78 has passed the House. Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the roll call and committee substitute for House Bill 78 amended be considered the roll call and the effective date clause.
Hearing no objection, effective date clause is adopted on House Bill 78. Representative Duncan.
Mr. Speaker, could we return to introduction of guests, please?
Hearing no objection, we revert to introduction of guests. Representative Duncan.
Mr. Speaker, in Gallery B, there's a constituent of Representative Miller's and mine, a member of the Haines School Board, Pat Jones.
Representative Haugen. Further guests for introduction, Representative Nakak.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and colleagues. I have two people I'd like to introduce. An individual from Dillingham, Mr. Hiratsuka. I don't know him personally, but he represents the Southwest Region Schools, the REAA, and is part of the fly-in down here. Gallery A. Also, Mr. Speaker, representing the Independent School District in the first class city of Selawik, my northernmost community in House District 22, and soon to be part of the Northwest Arctic REAA, my good friend for many years. In Gallery A, Jonas Raymond.
If there are no further guests for introduction, revert to the regular order of business. Clerk, please read the next item on the daily calendar.
House Bill number 342 by the Rules Committee by request of the Joint Administration Legislative Committee on Coastal Management, an act relating to the management of the coastal resources of the state and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Community and Regional Affairs has had House Bill 342 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 342 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mrs. Rudd, Chairman, concurring by Rudd, Anderson, Miles, Phillips, and Snyder. Mr. Lathine has no recommendation. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I'm going to ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the committee substitute. And, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to place an objection just for the purpose of explanation of the differences between the two.
A motion for the adoption of the committee substitute for House Bill 342. Mr. Miller has requested an explanation of the differences in the two bills. Representative Rudd.
Mr. Speaker, the two bills are very, very much alike. The only substantive difference between the two bills is in the composition of the Coastal Policy Council. And I can explain that now or when the bill is before us. I might as well do it now. In the original bill, the council was to be composed of, it's seven members from districts, isn't it?
Eight
members from districts throughout the state and seven members appointed by the governor, including commissioners of the various departments and the director of the Division of Policy Development and Planning. The committee felt that although the people from the districts would outnumber the commissioners and the members of the administration, that this was still quite top-heavy in the favor of the administration point of view for a program that is supposed to bring into the entire operation of the program the views of people throughout the state. So we changed the membership of the council to include the eight people from the regions, four commissioners, or the three commissioners and the director of the Division of Policy Development and Planning, and three members of the general public who would be appointed by the governor. We hoped in that manner to get more input from people across the state and make it less top-heavy in favor of whatever administration is in effect.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, this is what I had thought, and I really applaud the work of the both the interim committee that produced this initial legislation. Mr. Cotton was one of those members, and the committee on CRA. It bothers me, though, a little that in removing a couple of commissioners, it seemed to me that
really the two commissioners that need most to be on there, or at least among the two that needed most to be on there, were removed. Those being the commissioners of Fish and Game and the commissioners of environmental conservation. And it's, for a coastal zone bill like this, it seems to me that that's, you know, those two fields are kind of a big part of what this bill is all about. I know we also took off the Department of Transportation commissioner, and I think that's, you know, I think that's logical. But it really bothers me to remove those other two. Mr. Speaker, what I was going to suggest, and I'd just like to ask the reaction of the chairman, if we did not adopt the committee substitute, just went with the original bill, but put on public members. Now, I think there's great merit to adding public members over and above the elected officials that are in the list, the eight regions. I wouldn't want to disturb that at all. I think that's very good. But I do think that the, and I certainly applaud the idea that the committee came up with of adding public members appointed at large by the governor from special interest groups or the general public. I can see, for instance, somebody from the corporate business community being one of the interest groups that's perhaps represented, perhaps somebody from the conservation community. I don't know what the others would necessarily be, but I still think that's very good to have somebody that's not within the eight elected officials group and also not from the from the governor's cabinet. But I'd like to see those in addition to what's in the original bill. It seems to me, I realize that that makes for a large group, a very large group, and perhaps that's the reason that the committee did not go that direction. But I think if you admit that the group is large, I think you also admit that something is really missing when you take off particularly those two commissioners, Fish and Game and DEC. I'd just like to ask somebody on the committee what the conversation was relative to those points.
Representative Miles.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The reason we made the change was, number one, 15 members is rather large as it stands. We did want to get public members. The reason the four particular members of the administration were left on are as follows. It seems like the Division of Policy Development and Planning has taken the ball, taken the lead on this, and they are leading the pack in the planning program, so we felt that the director of EPDP should be left on there. Secondly, the Department of Commerce is the in Washington, is the State Department under whose umbrella the entire program is operated, so we thought our State Commissioner of Commerce should be on there as well, as there is some, there are certain developmental aspects on there. Thirdly, the Commissioner of Community and Regional Affairs will ultimately be the commissioner who will be charged with the implementation of the program. And fourth, the Commissioner of Natural Resources, because it so affects our natural resources. The commissioners of DEC and Fish and Game were taken off because we, essentially the committee thought that these four members of the administration were the four key members, and that was the decision. That's why we did it.
Representative Speaking.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, Mr. Speaker, the explanation that Mr. Miles made relative to the Department of Commerce and our own Commerce Commissioner really isn't exactly a good comparison. Due to the fact that the United States Department of Commerce is an umbrella agency, for example, over NOAA, which then in turn is over National Marine Fisheries Service, which are involved in activities that don't relate to commerce per se in the common usage of the word, like our particular Department of Commerce is. It would appear to me that either the Commissioner of Environmental Conservation or the Commissioner of Fish and Game might just as well fit into the parallel under the National Department of Commerce as does our own Commissioner of Commerce. In fact, in my view, You could make more of an argument for the Department of Fish and Game being represented there than you could our own Commissioner of Commerce and Economic Development.
Representative Bradley.
Mr. Speaker, could we have a brief meeting?
House, please stand at ease.
Kind of our other changes, so I'm going to remove my objection.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, during the at ease, I was advised that there are some other changes that were there are other differences between the committee substitute and the original bill. I had misunderstood the chairman's remarks in that respect. There are, for instance, public hearing provisions in the committee substitute that are not in the original bill. That being the case, I would remove my objection to the adoption of the committee substitute, and then we can proceed to amend that if we want to.
Further adoption, is there further objection to the adoption of the committee substitute? Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. See, clerk, have any amendments to committee substitute? Representative Speaking. House, please stand at ease. Representative Nakak.
Mr. Speaker, may we revert to introduction of guests, please?
Hearing no objection, we'll revert to introduction of guests. Representative Nakak.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and colleagues. In Gallery B are two individuals, Mrs. Samuelson and Ms. Mack, down here with the fly-in of the school boards. They represent the King Cove Board of Education. Also, Mr. Speaker, I have one more guest to introduce, an individual who's been in my area of Alaska, the Bering Straits area, for many, many years. He taught in almost in Siberia. He taught in Little Diomede. He's been with the Bureau of Indian Affairs. He's active in civic groups and organizations in the Nome area. He represents the Nome Public School Board at the school board fly-in down here in Gallery A, Mr. Paul Sterling.
Are there other guests for introduction to the chambers? If not, we'll revert to our regular order of business. Mr. Clerk, of any amendments to committee substitute for House Bill 342?
Amendment number one by Mr. Carpenter. Page 2, line 1. Delete the word preserve.
Representative Carpenter.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the amendment be adopted.
There's objection. Representative Carpenter.
Mr. Speaker, the word preserve to me implies or connotes the absence of man or even the absence of man's thinking, and I believe that the subsection adequately treats the subject with the word protection or protect. Thank you.
Representative Rudd.
Mr. Speaker, I don't think I support the amendment. I think it is necessary to make a statement that we do desire to preserve certain parts of our coast, just as we also desire to protect, develop, and use other parts of the coast. Thank you.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, similarly, the word develop to some people connotes, you know, a smokestack every 78 feet, but that's not what we're talking about, and that's not what we're talking about with preserve either. I think both words, preserve and develop, need to be in this bill.
Representative Carpenter.
Well, I understand that about the word develop. However, I would hope that the balancing in this bill would be more to the liking of those of us on both sides of the question. We have the word protect. We have the word develop. I'm just asking that we delete the additional word preserve.
Representative Brown.
Mr.
Mr. Speaker, I suppose I could ask how my friend from Fairbanks would rewrite the preamble of the Constitution of the United States, but this is a preamble. These are not the hard substantive provisions of the bill. These are general legislative policy and legislative findings, and generally, all of these broad words are put in there, just like they are in the preamble to the Constitution of the United States, and if he has a new draft of that, I'd like to see it.
Representative Carpenter.
That, Mr. Speaker, was a non sequitur.
You ready for the question? The question is, shall Amendment Number 1 be adopted? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Noes have it. Amendment Number 1 has failed to be adopted. Mr. Clerk, a further amendments, committee substitute.
Amendment Number 2 by Mr. Nackack. Page 3, lines 5 and 6. Delete and bearing on line 5 and all of line 6. Start a new paragraph on line 6. B, Bering Straits Coastal Zone Area.
Representative Nackack.
Mr. Speaker, I move for adoption of the amendment.
Yes. Representative Nackack.
Mr. Speaker, it's very clear to me that there was really not that much thought, or actually there may have been a lot of thought with reference to how these 8 particular seats are assigned to the coastal areas of Alaska. In paragraph A, Northwest Alaska, including generally the areas of North Slope Borough, the Northwest Arctic, and Bering Straits Regional Education Attendance Area, includes in excess of one-third of the coastline of the state. And to give, if you really wanted to be fair about it, to give coastline representation, you'd place one-third of the seats in this area. There are some concerns which I have. The Arctic slope going into the Nana area, they have certain types of activities there which certainly warrant them having a seat of their own. And I would press for this. And furthermore, with reference to what I refer to as the Bering Straits Coastal Zone area, the lands within that particular area are of a different type. They are basically selected by the corporation of that area for coastal zone management and control. And certainly, because of their foresight in doing this type of selection, they shouldn't be rewarded for by having a seat by themselves, but certainly because of their forthright planning, I feel that they deserve a seat on this particular council. If you'd look at line 14 through 20, Upper Cook Inlet, Lower Cook Inlet, Prince William Sound, Northern Southeast Alaska, just within a few hundred miles of each other, these people have 4 seats. If you're talking about fairness with reference to coastal zone policies, you would see fit to adopt my amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Rudd.
Mr. Speaker, I'm very hesitant to start cutting up these areas any more than they have been cut up already. Partly because, of course, what we're talking about here is the membership on the Coastal Policy Council, these various areas. And so when we start cutting them up, we would also add membership to the council. And at 15 members at present, I think it's just barely a workable number of people to get together from all over the state to make coastal policy decisions. So that's one hesitation I have. I certainly recognize Mr. Nackek's concern. I think the thinking that went into this is not only the length of the coastline, but the likelihood of intense development and the amount of population along the coastline. I think that those factors also went into the decisions as to where the lines would be drawn and which regions would be set aside for these 8 seats on the council. So I think it's not only a question of the length of coastline, but also the likelihood of development and the amount of population. It's very difficult these days. Anyone who's tried to do it knows how difficult it is to divide Alaska in any way for our REAAs, for borough boundaries, for anything. Whatever kind of division you're talking about, it's extremely difficult to do it either on boundaries which now exist or on new boundaries, because it is getting to be a very complicated situation with overlapping boundaries. I don't think that that it's possible to draw boundaries that's going to make 100% of the people happy 100% of the time. A great deal of thought went into these boundaries, and I recognize that they aren't perfect, but I'm very hesitant to change them.
Representative Nygaard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm kind of underwhelmed by Mrs. Rudd's argument. If you'd look at line 26, there are 3 public members appointed at large. Make that 2 public members. I've got no difficulty with that. I imagine that when she uses the argument that we look at the possibility of coastal zone activities, outer continental shelf activities, perhaps she didn't look at a map of the North and Sound area. That paints a deep red because of activities which are going to be there. Mr. Speaker, I plead with you and my colleagues for adoption of this amendment.
Representative Cotton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll just make a comment or two. Afraid I can't support the amendment, although Mr. Nackack makes quite a case for the needs and requirements of the people up in Northwest Alaska. Again, Mrs. Rudd pointed out that the council is now in this bill at 15 members, and it's quite a large council. And part of the original intent behind that number was that the local districts, if you will, as they're described here in A through H, would outnumber the administration's people on the council. So the theory being that the local control would be given at least a little bit of an edge. The bill, of course, has changed a little bit now with the addition of the 3 public members and the deletion of the 3 commissioners, as earlier mentioned. It's my feeling that each of the areas that are listed will see some offshore development, other intense coastal activity, as Mrs. Rudd pointed out, and I think we could probably make a case to add more people, perhaps in Upper Cook Inlet, because we got almost half the state's population there, and many of the types of activity that are going to be taking place are of a statewide interest. But again, I think that this is about what amounts to a pretty fair compromise, and I support the makeup as it now stands.
Representative Lafine.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to rise support of Mr. Nackack's amendment. I think he's correct in what he's saying. I think it's only fair that these people be given that representation there. And I'd like to ask for a roll call vote.
Is there further discussion? You ready for the question? The question is, shall amendment number 2 be adopted? A roll call vote's been requested. Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Representative Duncan? Representative Duncan, change his vote from nay to yay. Any other member? Clerk, please announce the final totals.
19 yays, 15 nays, 7 excused.
So amendment number 2 has been adopted. Mr. Clerk, a further amendments, committee substitute.
Amendment number 3 by Mr. Specking. Page 4, between line 7 and line 8, add E, Commissioner of Fish and Game, F, Commissioner of Environmental Conservation.
Representative Speckin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of Amendment Number 3.
There's objection. Representative Speckin.
Mr. Speaker, during the past 2 years prior to this session, I spent a substantial amount of time with the Senator Poland's committee that traveled around the state on coastal zone, on the development of coastal zone legislation. And as the members that were here will recall, we determined after almost 2 years of looking at that type of legislation that just simply we didn't have what we needed. Mr. Speaker, here I think we do have a an excellent bill, and but it does appear to me that two commissioners, the representation of whom is extremely important in the development of this type of coastal zone planning, have been omitted. Now, Mr. Speaker, I recognize that these councils get unwieldy. Mr. Speaker, I serve as an advisor to a couple that might be considered unwieldy, the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council, for example. The advisory panel of that contains some 25 members. But, Mr. Speaker, what actually happens is those members that are interested in a particular segment of it show up when they're needed. Now, Mr. Speaker, it appears to me that by giving the statutory authority to the Commissioner of Environmental Conservation and the Commissioner of Fish and Game, you aren't necessarily saying that you're going to have them present at every meeting. But it does appear there's a lot of merit to giving them the statutory authority to be there when a particular issue needs their presence so that they may have a vote on that council. As those of us know that attend other meetings where there are various commissioners and state persons, the attendance is very seldom 100%. But we do create the statutory authority for membership of those persons for particular reasons. And it may be that there will be times when it's more than desirable to have a particular commissioner there on a specific issue with statutory authority, but not necessarily on all of the issues. So the argument against unwieldiness, particularly with those persons in state government, doesn't wash in my view. And I would urge that we adopt Amendment Number 3.
Representative Miles.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I can't agree with the previous speaker. I think the argument on unwieldiness is a valid argument. We can see the councils and committees that we formed throughout the state of Alaska, when they get up into these double-digit numbers, seem to spend hours and hours and hours merely spinning wheels. Insofar as a specific commissioner having input into what exactly goes into the CZM program, I think that the governor's appointment powers now, he's now appointing for all practical purposes 16 people to this council. If the existing commissioners in the bill can't solve a problem for one of their fellow commissioners, we're in a damn sorry state.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I agree with the previous speaker. I think that we have to be very careful here. We've already added one member, and I voted for that addition, and I thought that was a good idea, but I don't think we should go much further. And it would be strange to suggest that these two commissioners would not have quite a lot of influence, input, and listeners on this organization as it stands right now. I think that we ought to stop adding to it and leave it as it is right now.
Representative Bradley.
Mr. Speaker, point of parliamentary inquiry, is it possible to divide the question, to vote on the Commissioner of Fish and Game separately from the Commissioner of Environmental Conservation? The reason I ask that, Mr. Speaker, is because I think it's clear on the face of it, coastal zone management, that the
Commissioner of Fish and Game, but you're putting the Commissioner of Commerce in the context that we know it in our state on here. It seems to be somewhat strange that the Commissioner of Fish and Game is not, but that's an inquiry to you, Mr. Speaker.
I think that it's possible to divide the question if that's a wish of the body, certainly.
Ms. Speaker, would that take a motion from me? Ms. Speaker, in that case, I'd move and ask unanimous consent that the question be divided and that we vote separately on the two appointments.
There's objection. We debate that question. We can put it to a vote. Representative Kelly?
Mr. Speaker, I think it was the consensus of the committee that the reason we made the change between the original bill and the committee substitute was we felt that there was perhaps too much state-level influence on the board. And Representative Miles and myself, the direction of Representative Rudd, spoke to the governor about this matter, and the governor was pretty adamant about keeping the ratio that they had at 8-7, so we promptly went back and changed the ratio. We feel that there's too much state, or rather the committee felt there was too much state influence on the board, that we should move to put a little more local influence into the local regions on the board, and for that reason I will oppose both the division and the amendment. I would not oppose substituting the Commissioner of Fish and Game perhaps for one of the other commissioners on the board, but I do like the ratio as it stands, and I'm not going to support either motion.
On the division of the question, the chair will ask for a voice vote. Those in favor of dividing the question signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
The ayes have it. The question will be divided. Is there further discussion? First part of the question then would be, consider adding the Commissioner of Fish and Game. Second part of the question would be the Commissioner of Environmental Conservation. Is there further discussion on the question? We'll have a roll call vote. Does everyone understand the amendment?
No.
If the first part of the question is adopted, the effect would be to add item E, Mr. Specking's amendment, which is adding the Commissioner of Fish and Game to the numbers of commissioners on the council. Second part is to add the Commissioner of Environmental Conservation. The question will be voted on separately. Representative Miles.
Yes, point of parliamentary inquiry. Don't we have another motion before us, and can we vote on a second motion with a previous motion in front of us?
Well, the motion pending was the adoption of amendment number 3 was asked, could we divide the question? I think the question admits of division, the body so wishes. Ready for the question? Representative Rudd.
Mr. Speaker, I think I have to oppose the addition of any new members to the council just on the basis that it is getting too big. We now have a 16-member council. And also on the basis that we've said several times that we thought it was top-heavy with administration. One of the thoughts that we had when we were talking about this was that the administration people are all together here in Juneau or maybe in Willow someday, but they're all together and they get together and do their work together. And if we make it so that the council is composed of a majority or even a heavy weighting towards the administration, granting the fact that when you try to get a statewide group of people together, you very rarely can get all 8, for instance, of the regional people from this council into the same room at the same time just because of other commitments that they have, you've already got a council that is going to be directed by the administration that is in effect. And I think it really does go against the basic philosophy of this bill and the basic philosophy of the whole coastal management program to make the program top-heavy with state administration people. The federal act under which this bill is being enacted and the great efforts that have gone for the last 2 years by representatives of this body and the Senate and the administration into making sure that public input came in, went into the drafting of this bill, and making sure that the public throughout the state of Alaska would be instrumental in implementing any coastal policy program that, is developed, demands, I think, that we keep the ratio at least where it is now, not add any more administration members. This is not to say, of course, that the Commissioner of Fish and Game and the Commissioner of Environmental Conservation are not going to be very actively involved in the implementation of this program. They are, and the other commissioners who are not mentioned in the act also are going to be. However, I really have a very strong hesitation to make the Coastal Policy Council an administration council. And as Mr. Miles pointed out, the governor is already going to appoint all of the members. But to make it top-heavy with people who are working in the administration, I think is really a bad mistake.
Representative Cooper.
Mr. Speaker, as long as it's been my contention that any meeting that has more than three people in it is a waste of time. We've already got 16 on this thing, and one more I don't believe will make it any more unwieldy than it already is. As a matter of fact, I think it makes good sense to put the Commissioner of Fish and Game on this commission. I'm kind of surprised that he wasn't on there anyhow. And if anybody thinks that all the commissioners say the same things when they open their mouth, he should have been there yesterday in a hearing. I think that the Department of Fish and Game it has a very big interest in coastal zone management, and they should be heard, and I believe that the commissioners should be here. Thank you.
Representative Cotton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Real brief. I support the first part of the motion. I believe that's to add the Commissioner of Fish and Game. That brings it back to the real tight balance. Right now, I guess it'll be 9 and 7. Seven members. It would have been 9 and 7 if the original makeup would have been the same. But now there are 9 representatives from the local districts and 7 appointed by the governor. So this will make it 9 and 8. It'll be an odd number, and I think that the original balance will be more closely will be achieved this way.
You ready for the question? Roll call vote's been requested. Question is, shall the first portion, amendment number 3, addition of Commissioner Fish and Game to the council, be adopted? We'll have a roll call vote. The members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk, please announce final totals.
20 yeas, 15 nays, 5 excused.
Representative Lafine.
I had my hand up, but you didn't see it. I wanted to change my vote.
Okay, we'll void the roll call. Question is, shall the first portion of the amendment be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Representative Carpenter. Any other member? Clerk, please announce final totals.
21 yeas, 14 nays, 5 excused.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, may be at ease. I didn't mean to rise before you announced the decision.
The first portion of the amendment's been adopted. House, please stand at ease.